welcome to this latest podcast. And this is going to be absolutely riveting, fascinating for the next half an hour or so, talking to two of our great authorities, Simon Kenworthy and Ryan Liu. We're going to be looking at, let's face it, the most important issue facing education, facing employment, facing society today, which is how to use these wonderful tools that we have now in the best possible way. So I'm going to ask the first question here, which is that AI and EdTech are very important in the wonderful Vision 2027 that you have. Could you both explain why are they so important for WCEC? And also, how do you see them enhancing the life of your pupils?
Yeah, okay. Well, do you want to go first, Ryan?
Yeah, maybe academic first. Simon, yeah. Please.
Okay. My name's Simon Kenworthy, and I'm the master at Hebrew Academy Nantong. And I've been given the lead for the Project 2027 of Educational Technology and AI. I'm not a computer scientist, I am a teacher, but I've always had a fascination for technology. From the first day, I remember vividly when I was about 6 years old, my father brought home a computer called an Oric Atmos, and I think it probably had like 30...
And a what?
Oric Atmos. It was even before the BBC computers that ended up going into the classrooms in the 80s. This would have been around about 1983-ish, something like that. So I've always had a love for, you know, the next wave of technology that comes out. And I see for the first time ever that we will be able to have personalized learning in schools at scale. There's never been such thing as a bespoke school before, because you can't possibly teach to all 24 children in the class individually until now. So with the use of AI tutors, we're able to pitch every single lesson at the right level for individual children in the class. Whether they have special learning needs or whether they're gifted and talented at the top end, we're able to access that. Our computer programs are adaptive, and they're able to respond in real time to the children's needs, who can then ask them questions. It is like every child having their own tutor sitting next to them and the teacher at the front facilitating what is going to be a fantastic lesson. So that's, I think, a seismic shift in education that we've never seen before.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's quite a vision. Ryan, how are you going to build on what Simon's saying there?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Liu, the IT director of Willingdon College Education China. My role focuses on the building the innovative digital platform and assistance that empower teacher and the learning and operation across the whole group. My answer for this question from the group IT perspective. So we say that AI and EdTech are important, not because they are very new technology, but because they are fundamentally changing how capacity is created within an education group. So, you know, as Simon mentioned, in the traditional education model, it's like a skill is quite difficult. Like we have some good practice for one teacher, but it's very hard to spread this. And the system are fragmented. And also the teachers often carry a heavy operation burden. And the AI give us a way to reduce the friction across the organization and also make the quality more consistent. So at WCEC, actually, one focus is not on AI replacing teaching. It's about the creating space, the space for teachers to design better learning, the space for pupils to think more deeply, and also space for the leaders to make the better decision. That's why Simon, very fascinating for the AI. And for the pupil, maybe sometimes the benefit is not direct, but it's also very powerful. Like when the systems are well designed, secure, easy to use, which means teachers can spend less time on administration and have more time on like the judgment, feedback, and also the relationship. So that's where education truly improves.
Yeah. Well, and aren't we very fortunate in the Wellington College family to have two such terrific leaders as both of you leading our technology in this very new area? And we are very blessed, lucky to have you both. And the next question I'm going to ask is, you've explained very clearly there what it is and how it is already enhancing the education of our pupils. Could you talk now about some of the key achievements that you have made in the AI and the ed tech area to date? And just to put on record, we are talking here at the end of January 2026. So by the time some of you might be listening to this, who knows what Simon and Ryan and the team will have come up with. But as of this point in time.
Yeah, as of only 3 years and 3 years and 2 months ago, before ChatGPT 3 came out, there was no adoption. You know, nobody really used it, certainly in schools. And so we went from an adoption rate of zero, well, maybe 1% of some of our techie teachers, to now well over 90% of our teachers and pupils using AI in the space of 3 years. And that's a program of upskilling them throughout each of the schools. We've got EdTech leads pushing that through each of our 6 schools here in China. I'll leave Ryan to talk about AI space in a moment because that's his creation, but that has really helped. We've got a space where all of our AI tools are stored, and I'll let him talk about that. I've got two more things from me. Firstly, is that many of the academic programs that we're using have got AI built into them. So for instance, we're using Magic School out here in China, which allows children to experiment with the use of AI in a safe environment. The teacher will allocate different AI tools into the lesson and the children are able to do that. It might be that it's able to make the writing easier or more complex, something as simple as that, so that the children will have some autonomy over what gets used within that lesson. We've also got what we use here in Nantong is called Toddle. And when we looked at what the children most use, what agents they most use, it's AI bots. It's a bot to answer some of their questions. And that had something like 88 or 90% of all of our AI functionality was used through AI bots. And that's baked into the Toddle system. And so our children, and I talked about personalized learning. That's not something that's in the future. That's something that's already been here for a year and a half already. And it is just great that people describe it as the electricity of the future. You know, we don't say, I'm going to use electricity. It just happens. And AI is now just part of our children's lives, that they're able to turn to somebody and say, my teacher's teaching me about it. I didn't quite understand. Can you take me through it Socratically, step by step? So that's the academic side. And also the last bit for me is the non-academic side as well. And it's how technology, not necessarily educational technology, but how is technology being used in education? We in Nantong are very lucky to be the sort of 6th iteration of Wellington Schools out here. And we've benefited from that in that all of our 11 sort of maintenance systems that we've got going, things like power, electricity, water, air conditioning, lifts, lighting, are all monitored electronically. And they're actually controlled from our guardhouse, along with our, I think we've got 880-something CCTV cameras as well. But what this has allowed is not just a safe campus, but it's a campus that is got very little wastage. We are probably the most efficient, we're the most efficient school in the group. And I think AI will continue to mean that all schools across the world become more efficient, and not just schools, whole cities.
Smart cities, smart schools, and certainly two very smart school leaders in Simon and Ryan. Ryan, what are you going to add to what Simon said?
Simon mentioned the WCEC AI space. So I want to share the three stages of our AI journey. But after that, I really want to, Simon helped me to give some feedback about the WCEC AI space as my honorable customer. You know, normally the tech is served for the academic.
Yeah.
So echo to the, like the function in the AI empower the CCTV door access system. Actually, last week I have some meeting with another solution. You know, now the AI is in depth integrated with the CCTV. For example, the solution they introduced, like the, not like before, you search the pupil, search the something happened on the videos, you can use the typing. For example, you can type the white BMW car. The AI will generate all the snapshot related to the white BMW car. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Back to our, like we said, the AI journey. Simon mentioned the ChatGPT 3.5, which exploded in the November 22. So actually we started our journey after half a year from the April 23. This is stage one for us. We call it the access and the foundations. So in that time, we launched the first version of our own WCEC GPT 3.5, built on the Microsoft Azure OpenAI service. So at that time, the priority was not the sophistication, it's just about the responsibility. So we were providing staff and the pupils with access to AI in a way that was compliant, secure, and centrally managed. This created a very safe environment for our AI experiment. And then in the April 25, we entered into the stage two, we call the platform and the scale. So we launched the, Simon mentioned the WCEC AI space. Moving from AI as a simple chatbot to AI as a group-wide platform. So AI space integrates multiple large model, AI service, AI functions, knowledge base, in one-stop environment, allowing AI to support the daily work across the school and the group. So then in the last year, September, we were in the stage three. We call the co-creation. We plan to throw an AI agent platform based on DeFi. DeFi is a very famous AI platform globally. By the way, we are the IFE's first enterprise version client in education K-12 education industry globally.
Yeah. Which is very important.
Yes, thank you. So this allows teachers, staff, eventually pupils can do the design, build the AI agents themselves to resolve their real problems. So from group IT perspective, the achievement is not any individual tools, but the journey from access to platform to the sustainable capability.
Yeah.
So maybe Simon, can you share some feedback for the WCEC AI space or some suggestions?
It's very, very easy to use. You've got, you know, the chat function, image translation, Hive, the video, and the knowledge base. And I like the fact that we've got guardrails on it. It's not open source and we can control it. So I think it's giving the children an expanding number of tools and the staff, but making sure that safety is also there.
Simon, you listed, thank you, Ryan, that was really clear. Simon, you listed four benefits there. Can you just go through them just a moment ago?
In the AI space, there's six things. We've got an AI chat function, which is like a chat bot.
Yep.
We've got the image generator, the live translation, the Hive, which Ryan has just launched recently, video, and a knowledge base. And the knowledge base is quite good. So that's run, Kathy, who's running that as a project. So let's say I'm going on a business trip. I go to the UK to see you, Anthony, and I want to know what's my allowance to spend on food for supper or whatever. I want to take you out for supper. I can just whiz through that instead of having to phone up the HR team. It scours all of our documents and policies and just gives an answer. And that's now in use. And we're gonna extrapolate that out from just HR functions to other functions as well.
Very clear. And making the point there, both of you, that there's not a facet of school life, including and not forgetting the lifts, that are not going to be affected by AI. AI is going to be in every single aspect, including, of course, transport and how the young people come into school. So next question, a bit more philosophical, is how do both of you see AI shaping the future? And how in particular can the Wellington College Education China schools, and indeed Wellington globally, help our young people navigate this world that will be so different to the world of their parents?
Well, how I think the world will change, I think we're going to see massive transformation in the world of work and the economy. Any sort of basic production line job will go. I mean, it's already starting. I think Amazon have now got more robots employed than people, and that's going to continue at a pace.
Many more.
Yeah.
Indeed, they hardly want to have any people at all. Because people are tricky and troublesome. They're much in a work, which of course is on one level exciting, another level a bit
terrifying as well.
Yeah. The second thing I've got here is I think I foresee further breakthroughs in science and medicine and problem solving. I don't know if you know the Nobel Prize for Chemistry winner last year, Demis Hassabis. He was trying to crack the protein folding issue, which was just, it was nigh on impossible. Nobody got close to getting the accuracy. And then they created, instead of artificial intelligence, the next generation is artificial general intelligence. So what I mean by that is if we go back to like Deep Blue, which was one of the first computers that could play chess, that's what it could do. It was artificial intelligent, but it was just trained on chess and it could only do chess. Artificial general intelligence means that it actually is multifaceted. And that's the next level of artificial intelligence. And so I think we're going to see huge breakthroughs in science and medicine in particular. I think we're going to have hyper-personalized everyday lives. That will change and we'll get sort of almost bespoke experiences. But with all this is going to bring an ethical and social shift in government responsibility and quite how they're going to manage this. At the moment, we've been used for many years. Originally, it was like the king that would say what would happen and everybody followed. Then it was governments doing it. Now we've got technology driving forward and governments catching up and having to try and create the rules once the horse is out of the cart or whatever it is, out of the barn.
Can it do that, Simon?
I think in partnership with technology, but the technology is going to keep inventing itself. And that's the scary thing. At the moment, the humans have always been able to put the brakes on. But if you look at how I've got here a fascinating thing about the adoption rates. And I know it's not quite the same, but the adoption rates for electricity to get to 100 million users, that took 60 to 70 years. If we go through radio, 30 to 35, television, 20 to 25, internet, 7 years, Instagram, 2 years, generative AI, 2 months. And so the adoption rate, the spread of it is going to be massive. And once technology starts creating its own technology and it spreads at a faster rate, I don't think any one government can hold it in place. I mean, if you've got 100 million users within 2 months, that's more than there are people in the UK. How does a government suddenly stem that back? And that's where I think the United Nations and, OECD will have to work to try and work in tandem and consortium to say this. At the moment, you look at something like Australia, they've just banned facial media and social media, and we'll see how that goes. But you've then got other countries saying, no, we carry on with this. It's civil liberties. And I just don't think we're going to have enough unity in the world to be able to stem it. So no, I think, the big tech companies are going to be the one that drives the world forward for the next 20 to 30 years, if not more.
And maybe even it will be the AI driving the big tech companies.
100%, 100%.
Ryan, a fascinating vision of the future world there. What would you like to add to that?
Yeah, so in terms of technology, you know, it's quite interesting. Last Saturday, I attended the EdTech conference in Guangzhou. And the one key takeaway for me from the conference actually changed my mind. It's about the technology is never neutral. You know, AI does not simply make the things faster, smarter. It amplifies whatever is already present. So like the culture, the values, assumption, even the bias. So this changed my mind. And before I think, the technology is always very neutral, but now it's not. So AI is similar to the other powerful technology. The question, I think the real question is like not whether AI shapes the future, it already does, but what is will amplify in our school and the society. So from like the education perspective, our responsibility is to ensure AI amplifies good judgment, curiosity, ethical thinking, rather than shortcuts or blind trust in machines. So educator can like help the pupils reinforce a simple idea. AI can generate the answers, but it's not cannot decide which one is right, meaningful, or reasonable. So this kind of decision must remain humans. And for me, because I'm from IT perspective, this means like a design environment where AI supports thinking rather than replacing it, where the human confirmation and accountability are always very part of the process. Yeah.
So this is an extraordinary vision that you're both painting for the world and how different our children in our schools who are five now, how very different the world will be when they're 25. Maybe as big a change in those 20 years as we've seen in human history up to today. So looking ahead, both of you, is there anything you want to add about how you think educational society will be in 20 years' time? And as educators and parents, how do you think we can best be preparing our young people and also for the workplace, which, as we've already heard, will be very different?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the deeply personalized learning journeys, which I think what we can't get away from is going to be, that's what we want. I think we're going to, the future will hold more responsive and smarter communities and cities. And I look forward to, for instance, a network of self-driving cars. My grandchildren will look back at me and they will say, what do you mean you used to drive your own car? Oh, and you crashed it. How does that happen? There'll be zero crashes because all the they'll be communicating with each other. And as for, you know, what we teach them, I think we need to teach them adaptability. We've seen how quickly the world changes. And if you can't adapt quickly and you're not agile enough, you will get left behind. We will, of course, teach our children digital literacy and AI fluency. But they must keep that up themselves. And I think of all things, I want, if I could, your listeners could take one thing from this, it would be that AI should lead to greater HI. So artificial intelligence should lead to greater human intelligence. And if we are not enhancing the intelligence from these machines, then something's wrong. We can't just rely on them. It's got to make us better people as well. I think that's where it goes hand in hand with the Human Flourishing Project as well that Wellington are working on.
Fascinating, Simon. Ryan?
Yeah, so, you know, 20 years, it's like a future that seems very distant. But I think it will arrive very rapidly because AI is changing everything very quickly. So in my vision, I don't think we need to wait 20 years. in the very soon future, AI will like a tool or more than like a or like a infrastructure similar to the electricity and the, maybe the internet today. So in education, much of the background work will be handled quietly by AI. For example, administration, translation, data integration, Simon mentioned the personalization. So at the same time, the vision, the visible part of the education will become more human, not less. So the skill, like the judgment, as an SQL reasoning, collaboration, creativity, will match even more. So this challenge will not whether AI is powerful enough, but whether schools are designed enough to use this power responsibly. Yeah, so back to the, as a parent, I don't worry about the children using AI. I worry about them using AI critically, yeah, because in the workspace, AI is already changing the expectation. And what prepare pupil best is like not banning AI, but guide them to use it as a think partner rather than a shortcut. This requires learning tasks that demand judgment, explanation, iteration. And also from IT perspective, this also meaning creating an environment where the experimentation is quite safe, data is protected, mistake become learning opportunity rather than risks. Yeah, this is my feeling about the parents, also as a technology person. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And that's a wonderfully clear answer. And we're just moving now to the final question of this exchange. And how do both of you think we can best help our parents and pupils engage for a world which, let's be honest, we don't know. We know there's going to be a huge, enormous change. We know that AI is going to be very important. We don't know how important or exactly where it's going to be important. We don't know about jobs. Even employers themselves don't know exactly what kind of skills they're going to want and need for tomorrow's world, the second quarter of the 21st century, let alone the third quarter, which and our young people leaving school now will be alive well into the 22nd century. We know very little about it. So what would be your advice? Speaking as two very wise, very learned people, what would be your advice to these people to help them be excited, not afraid, but also wise about how to prepare for this future that we do not know?
I think one thing we do know, and we were chatting with the CEO of Toddle, a guy called Dipanshu, and one thing he said is what we know is that people in the workforce in future will have to work in a team with both humans and AI side by side. That has to happen. We're going to use that. I mean, it already happens. And so it might be, for instance, that you get AI to do some research. You as the human are able to do the communication, and then you get another AI agent to do all of the publication and the promotion material. So in schools at the moment, I don't really see us training our children to work in this hybrid team of human and AI yet. I think that's going to be the next stage of school. And I would like Wellington to be a pioneer in how we go about that. So my advice to the pupils would be a critical thinker. Build your own skill set, whether it be creativity, communication, problem solving, and then learn to use AI to learn, not just to complete tasks. Because if you learn, you become a better person. It boils back to that thing of AI should improve HR. For our educators, I would encourage them to learn before they teach, because you actually need to understand the power of AI before you try and use it in your lessons. And of course, we would encourage them to model responsible use, as you would do for any new technology. And for parents, you know, as one myself, I've got a one-year-old, so she will definitely be living into the next century. I think be curious and she's 2 years old. She'll kill me for saying that. She's now two. Be curious and get involved. Get involved with your children and see what they're doing at school and see how AI can change their world. But you need to set boundaries and balance. Otherwise, you'll find that children will be doing everything on AI and they will lose those more human skills. And feel confident about being able to teach digital literacy and AI skills at home as well. It doesn't just have to be something that is done at school, because AI will be coming into the home. You're not going to be able to stop it. So let's embrace that and make sure that AI improves HI.
And thank you, Simon, for that masterly, as you'd expect from a master. A masterly summary. Ryan.
Yeah, you know, we are always aligned about innovation and technology. I mean, Simon and me, even Simon from master perspective, I'm from IT perspective. The advice from me starts with one simple principle: do not outsource your thinking. So AI is very powerful assistant. It can help us to explore the ideas, test the reassumption, work more efficiently. But at the moment we stop questioning its output, we give up the most important part of learning, judgment. So for the educator, the key is not to compete with AI. You know, maybe 2 years ago, always thinking, I will lose my job because AI will replace me. Don't to compete with AI, but to design learning where AI cannot do the thinking on behalf of the pupils. That means ask for the reasoning, reflection, or iteration, not just the answers. AI should become part of the learning process, not a shortcut around it. And for parents, always it's very hard to balance the usage for pupil or for children to use the new technology. For parents, the goal is not to control or ban AI, but to help the children building the healthy habits, asking questions how did you decide this was correct, or what did you AI help you with, or what did you do yourself, is very more effective than the setting stricter rules. And for pupils, AI should treat it as a thinking partner, not the authority. Use it to clarify the ideas, challenge your understanding, see the different perspective, but always make the final judgment by yourself.
Simon and Ryan, you have given us a wonderful insight into not just the future, but the present. And you've given everybody a very, very clear overview. And thank you. And thank you also for the extraordinary achievement and work and leadership that you are showing. So all power to you. Hope everyone's enjoyed listening to the podcast. Hope you're not too frightened hiding under your bedclothes, because it's going to be a wonderful future. And farewell, everybody.
Thank you, Anthony. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.